Good morning, Renew Church, and happy Resurrection Day. My name is Pastor Dan Bolt. We welcome you with us today. God bless you on this Resurrection Sunday, and we welcome you. This is the day we celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I listen a little bit to some radio programs during the week, some Christian teachings, but also some secular things, what's going on, news sources and such. And I am hearing quite a number of people talk about the resurrection of Jesus and making an allusion to resurrection of our nation, of our economy. And I think that's appropriate. We should think in terms of God's resurrection power, not only in the life of a believer, but in the life of a nation. The United States has experienced the blessing of God for many decades now because of the principles of founding, where it was a nation formed for freedom of religion and to worship and to follow God. Now, I know for many people that's not a priority for them, but there is a core of our nation that remains in that stance. It's, I think, perfectly appropriate to believe that the United States of America, blessed under the mighty hand of God, will rise up again and be a light, really, to the rest of the world. We're situated where we can help medically and financially the rest of the world. So this is a time for us to shine. Amen?
Amen.
As we move into teaching the word this morning, I felt led of God to go to the scripture that you'll find in Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. As we study the Bible and look to the Bible and teach from the Word of God, there's a lot of the stories, a lot of the historical fact, there's a lot of things that you can learn. You might consider them theology, but theology by itself, I'm not sure that it has a whole lot of value or even a good grasp on Bible history and stories. By themselves, that's not the thing. The question is how does it apply to me today? What does it mean to me today? What can I apply in my life? So Romans 8:11 there says, "But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you." Now, there's probably two parts in this scripture, and we'll come back to it a little bit later, but two components, two parts that I really want to talk about today. The first one being here in the first parts of this verse. Notice again it said, the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead. Did you know it was the work of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead? And it says, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. So there's twice that it says there that it's the Spirit of God, it's the Holy Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead. We could say it this way, it was a work of the Spirit. It was an operation of the Spirit. That resurrection power came through the Holy Spirit of God. Now, this may seem like a minor point, but there's value in considering this as we get to, well, how does this apply to me? I want you to consider this, and I believe I could prove it out sufficiently from the scriptures. Notice that it does not say that Jesus raised himself. Jesus did not raise himself, but it was the Spirit of God that raised him. And in those, we say 3 days, Jesus called it 3 days, that he would be in the grave or in the underworld. We would just simply say hell, that he was under bondage and domination of the enemy. In those 3 days, I want to submit to you, during that time, that Jesus could do nothing. His circumstance and his situation was beyond and outside of his control. In other words, Jesus could not raise himself. Jesus could not defeat the enemy. Jesus, during that time, couldn't speak up in the face of the devil and say, "Do you know who I am and what I'm about to do to you?" Because he couldn't. I've taught this a number of times before, but Jesus had to fully experience our humanity and every limitation that we have. If he didn't, he wouldn't truly be one of us and wouldn't truly redeem us to every level if he didn't experience every level. Let me prove this out at least partially to you. John chapter 8 and verse 28. Because it's important we understand how Jesus operated, what capabilities Jesus had, And this verse already has said that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us. And so where we're going to get to, just giving you a peek ahead here, is if Jesus needed that work of the Spirit, we're going to need that work of the Spirit. And if Jesus was able to access that work of the Spirit, so are we able to access that work of the Spirit. And if Jesus could do nothing to raise himself up, I can do nothing to raise myself up. I can only put myself, as we're going to see, in a position of trust in God and his word, and then a work of the Spirit, and the power of the Spirit can do something for me that I cannot do for myself. Amen. That's a preview of what this is all about today, where we're going. But John 8, 28 says this, "Then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man," now what is that, to lift up? He's talking about crucifixion. When his body would be lifted up off of the ground, his feet would not be on the ground. "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father taught me, I speak these things." Verse 29, "And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him." Jesus said this a number of times, that he did nothing of himself. He did not do anything except what he saw the Father do, or what he would only speak what he would hear the Father say. So Jesus, as he ministered and functioned upon the earth, including the signs, the wonders, the miracles, Jesus would say that he would not do them of his power, and he would not do them of his will, but he would see them, sense them, understand them, have them revealed to him, and he would do what he saw. He would do what was revealed by his Father. He simply didn't make a move without knowing what God's will and intention was and followed that. So the way Jesus said it in this verse was, "I do nothing of myself." Other translations says, "I can't." He said, "I can do nothing of myself." Jesus may have had more limitation or limitations that people thinking about Jesus are not fully aware of or don't fully consider. This speaks to the power of the Spirit-filled life. If Jesus needed to have the empowering of God to do a thing because he was a man, so do you and I need the empowering of the Spirit of God because we're men. And the further lesson is if Jesus could do it, so could we. Jesus, in fact, did say, "The works I do, you shall do, and greater works than these shall I do, because I go to my Father," which meant that he would send the Spirit. And by that power of the Spirit, we could do the same things. We would see the will of God, we would have God reveal to us what's to be done, and we could do what Jesus did if we'll do it the same way and not of ourselves. So what I'm saying to you is, in those 3 days, I believe we could prove out from the Scriptures, Jesus was, dare I use this word, helpless. Jesus could not change his situation. He was entirely dependent upon God, God's power, and God's Spirit. Let's look at Jesus a little further in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. It says here in Philippians 2, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God." Let me stop just for a second there and say something about that word robbery. I don't know about others, but that one always, to me, was like, what does that mean exactly? What that means is that Jesus did not consider it something that he should take of his own will, something that he should take from someone who is unwilling. In other words, Jesus, though he was in form, though he was God, he did not take the power of God unwillingly from God. He didn't grasp it. He didn't hold on to it. He walked, in fact, in humility. And whatever grace was upon him was grace from the Father, not something that he took to himself. He didn't take glory to himself. He didn't take power to himself. So here in Philippians, we're being told, have the same mind that Jesus did, where you don't take things to yourself, where you don't grasp glory for yourself. But it's going to talk here about humbling. Let's read on then to verse 7. 6 says, though he was God, he didn't take that divinity, but he laid it aside is a way to say that. Verse 7, it says, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Again, as Jesus came to earth, was born a human, he was 100% God, but also 100% man. So we like to say all of his power, all of his glory, everything that he would do as God, he set that aside and did not operate with those things. He came in the likeness of men. Other scriptures would say this. We don't have opportunity to go there this morning, but he experienced every temptation that we did. He suffered things as we do. Hebrews calls him a faithful high priest, tempted in every point as we are, yet without sin. So Jesus had the full human experience. And to have the full human experience, he had to experience the full human limitation. Well, you might say, well, he did, except for one thing, he had no sin nature. Well, part of what I'm suggesting to you this morning for your consideration is this. Once he died on that cross, the Bible describes him as having been made a curse or having been made sin for us. At that moment, even the limitation of sin was upon him. And that's kind of a big, bold statement there, a big claim, but you consider that. See if the Spirit of God doesn't bear witness with your spirit that it's true. And at that point in time, Jesus would not have a right to access the power of God, because he would be responsible for the sin of the world at that moment. You just consider that and see what God says about that to you. Let's now look at the 8th verse here of the same opening, Philippians 2 and verse 8. It says this, and being found in appearance as a man. Now this is said more than once. What is it? 3 times already. Talking about the humanity of Jesus. Maybe I should say it this way. Not just was, but is a man. He is a man. Verse 8, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Now it says here, the point of death. I believe that there is specified here a delineation of Jesus. Can I say it this way? Being a certain condition before that death and a different condition after that death. Will it make sense with other scriptures? Again, he was made a curse for us. He was made to be, him who knew no sin was made to become sin, that we might receive the righteousness of God. Now, I know some Christians just can't quite fathom, well, no, now wait a minute, Jesus never became sin, and some would say Jesus never descended to hell. I think the scriptures are pretty clear on these things, that he took the full weight of the penalty, and to do that, when it says he became sin, I believe that it's literally he became sin. And if he became sin and the sin of the world was upon him, he would not have a right to access certain things, just like you and I, under a condition of sin, do not have a right to access those things. And at that point in time, it would be too late for Jesus, except for what God had promised him. So he becomes obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Jesus operated as a man, anointed by the Spirit, right up to the point of death. And he accessed the power of God in his 33 years or so, and his 3 years of ministry. He would access the power of God by the Spirit of God that was upon him. We know he was baptized by John the Baptist. The Spirit of God descended upon him in the form of a dove. His miracle ministry began. He began teaching and so on. And the anointing of the Spirit was upon him. And the works he did by the power of God that was upon him. One could possibly think that, well, when he went into the grave, when he descended into hell, when he was under that punishment, well, he still was anointed with the Spirit of God and could have said, okay, that's enough. It's time for resurrection. I submit to you, no, he couldn't. And let me give you a proof of that. Let's go to Mark chapter 15 and verse 34. Pastor Dan, why are you making a big deal about this? I'm making a big deal about it because we understand unless the anointing and the power of the Spirit of God is upon us to bring us out in resurrection life, we have no hope. And what I'm saying to you this morning is Jesus was in the same state. That unless power of God's Spirit came upon him and kept God's word to Jesus, Jesus had no hope of ever coming out of eternal punishment and damnation. Well, if Jesus came out, I can come out. Amen. So Mark 15 and verse 34, and we're right at that point of death, or just before that point of death. And it says here in the 34th verse, at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice. Now, the ninth hour would be 3 p.m. for us. I don't know about you all, but I was just thinking about these things through the week. I was kind of doing a countdown. A sunset Thursday was the beginning of Passover, and I kind of, before I went to bed, thinking about maybe about now, Jesus went out into the garden, and he prayed. Can you not tarry 1 hour? So he probably prayed an hour or better. Then he was arrested. And of course, I did sleep the night, but I was up very early the next day, 5:30 a.m., and I watched the sun come up. And I was just thinking, wow, the sun's coming up. Jesus, you were dragged off to Pilate about this time. And by noon, he was hanging on a cross. He lasted about 3 hours on that cross. There was a solar eclipse that happened in that time, earthquake, a variety of things. So this is about 3:00. This is very near the end where the Bible says that Jesus gave up his spirit. The 34th verse again here from Mark chapter 15. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is translated, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now that's a quote from the Psalms. It was a prophecy from the Psalms that the Christ, that Jesus under punishment would experience being forsaken by God. We describe it many times this way, that God turned his back on Jesus, that God removed his presence, that God was not with him. Thinking about this, well, if God turned his back and God's presence left, that would mean that the Spirit of God that anointed him was upon him and in him would also have to leave him. We experience the presence of God by the Spirit of God. Jesus said, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And when he said that, he was talking about the presence of his Spirit. Told the disciples, tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with on high. So that presence of Christ, we experience by the Spirit. So if God's Spirit were removed from us, we would no longer experience the presence of God. So I'm suggesting to you, and I believe it to be true, that when Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? That God's presence left him. And if God's presence left him, so did the anointing of the Spirit. So did the presence of the Spirit. And Jesus at that moment experienced spiritual death. At that moment, Jesus went to a place he had never been before. We've already said that Jesus had to have the full human experience. Well, we know Adam and Eve with sin entered into spiritual death. So did Jesus. Jesus experienced that at that point of death upon the cross. And while Jesus prayed in the garden, and you know, he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood, what was it that Jesus was in such agony about? To think about physical death, we know that many people face physical death with great dignity, courage, and do not fear. And they don't agonize as Jesus did. Well, it wasn't the physical death that Jesus agonized about. What Jesus agonized about and what he cried out and said, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And we know that there was at least 3 seasons where Jesus prayed that and resigned himself to, no, if this is what you've appointed me to go through, I'll go through that. Even with his knowledge of Scripture and knowing that he would be resurrected, he told the disciples when he was with them that he would be raised up again the third day. Even knowing that, he knew that it would have a beginning and an end. But still, he agonized over something. Over what? What did he sweat drops of blood about? Well, what he agonized over was this: separation from God. Spiritual death. The presence of God's Spirit being removed from him. And I guess what I'm saying is this, if the Spirit of God was removed from Jesus, he could not raise himself up. He could not call on the power of God to raise him up. He had no covenant right to call on the power of God. In other words, everything that Jesus could do to prepare himself for that condition had to be done up until the point of his death. So, he was separated from God. He became sin. He became a curse. And while he was in hell, he was powerless. Have you ever felt powerless? If you're a believer, you're not. But I'm sure you're acquainted with the feeling of being powerless. Well, if Jesus was actually powerless and God delivered him, you and I can also be delivered when we feel powerless. When Jesus was in those 3 days, or parts of those 3 days, all he could do was trust God. All he could do was trust God's promise to him. I believe, I have no way of proving it out, I don't suppose, but I believe that Jesus, during that time in hell, probably spoke to himself, or even spoke out loud, again and again, the scriptural promises of God. He spoke the word, Father, I believe you. I believe the third day I'll rise again. Father, I believe. But you know what? We get in situations too where that's what we do. Keep that word of God coming out of your mouth. So he was obedient to the point of death. He had to trust God that when he crossed over into death and when he crossed that line, that God would keep his word and rescue him. Because once Jesus crossed over, he couldn't do anything. Now recall, before Jesus passed away, before Jesus died, he said that he could call 10,000 angels to deliver him. He said that no man takes his life, but he lays it down. And so those angels could have rescued him up until the point of death upon his cross and that curse coming upon him. Once he dies, once he becomes sin, he cannot do anything. How do I know that? Because you and I, unless we're born again, we can't do anything about our sin. You can't pay for it. You can't make up for it. You can't ignore it. Nothing happens until we're washed in the blood. And even that, we receive by faith. Being born again, we receive by faith in God and his word. Jesus had to do the same thing, have faith in God and his word. And again here, I want to say, I always approach the Word of God. I always teach the Word of God. Yes, we might go into details of historical background, culture, many things that we can see and learn from that. But just a wealth of knowledge by itself is not worth a whole lot. It has to come down to, what does this mean to me today? And how do I incorporate it into my life and live it today? How will this help me? So we're doing the same thing here. Let's go back to the book of Romans. Romans 8 and verse 11. It says here again, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, and let's stop for a second, is that same Spirit, is the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in you? If you're born again, he is. I said, if you're born again, he is. And if perchance anyone is listening to my voice, if you're not born again, that's the beginning for you. You must receive the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Spirit of God comes and dwells in you and lives in you. And then the power of God is available to you. The promises of his word are available to you. Without that, what can you do for yourself? Nothing. Nothing. So the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. And then it says, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. Your mortal bodies. Now, we're not just talking about eternal life, living forever in the presence of the Lord, living forever in heaven. We're talking about mortal bodies. Once we die and enter into eternity with the Lord, we're not in mortal bodies anymore. So we're really talking about things for this life, for here and now. Mortal means subject to death. And so even in light of this virus that is loosed upon the earth or was loosed upon the earth, which is a work of the devil, which is a work of the enemy, and there is a spiritual force behind it, and that spiritual force is defeated and broken with the resurrection power of Christ, which we're celebrating today. What I'm saying to you is this is not just for the sweet by and by. This is for right now. Your mortal body. We are talking about the part of you that will experience death unless the Lord comes first and carries us all off. And we're changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. So we are talking about things that are to be operational and functional in our mortal bodies in this phase of life, our physical lives. So if one today is not feeling well, if one today, whether it be the virus or something else, another injury, another sickness, another disease, any other kind of thing that the human body can be susceptible to, I say to you today that this blessing is for your mortal body. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal body. The resurrection power of Jesus is not just for eternity. It's for us right now. It's for our bodies right now. And if this revelation, if this light gets in you and you can see it with your spirit, speak it with your mouth, you can be raised up right now from anything attacking your body. You can be raised up right now from any accident, injury, incapacity, illness, anything that's happened in our mortal bodies. The same Spirit that took a Jesus who is entirely dependent on God. God, if your power doesn't flow, I don't have anything I can do about it. If that's you, so was that also Jesus. That same Spirit that was able to raise Jesus from the dead in a helpless condition where He became sin, where He was under penalty, where He was under judgment. And we might say if you're born again, we're under that judgment, though the body is still susceptible to some things. The body's the last thing redeemed, as the Scriptures say. But that same Spirit that helped Jesus when He couldn't help Himself is the same Spirit that's in you. That same Spirit that resurrected Jesus is resurrecting you. And you, by doing the same thing that Jesus did, can experience the same resurrection today. Jesus trusted God and trusted His Word. Jesus, in His darkest moments, kept going through His mind, kept it going through His spirit. God has promised that He will be satisfied with the penalty that I'm paying. God will be satisfied with the blood of the Lamb. God will be satisfied. His judgment is satisfied with the blood of the Lamb. His judgment is satisfied with the sacrifice that Jesus made. He was sinless. He was the acceptable sacrifice. God is satisfied, and He will be resurrected up. Jesus didn't resurrect Himself. You won't resurrect yourself. But you will place faith in God's Word, faith in the promise that He's made to you. And the same Spirit that was capable of defeating death for eternity, the same Spirit that was capable of lifting Jesus up out of that condition and bringing Him out and making Him whole, making Him better than He was before, because He died once and He cannot die again. Hallelujah. That same Spirit is available to you today, no matter what darkness is visiting upon you, no matter what's in your mortal body. And this relates to provision for us financially, the food and shelter, clothing, all those things. That same Spirit that Jesus depended upon to raise Him up is the Spirit that's in you. And again, you can do the same thing that Jesus did and trust His Word. God is raising me up. I may be down today, but I won't stay down. God is raising me up. The same Spirit that was capable of raising Jesus, that was the heavy lift. That was the big lift. My little thing over here isn't much. God is raising me up. God is raising me up. I am coming up in resurrection life and resurrection power. Every need of the mortal body, every need of the mortal body, this flesh and blood body, every need is granted and given by the Spirit. In thinking about, for Pastor Sandy, for my wife, having had that brain injury come upon her, I've been thinking about the price Jesus paid. He became sin, He became cursed. Every sickness, every disease was laid upon Him. Every injury was laid upon Him. Jesus paid the full price. For every person, Jesus paid the full price because God the Father became satisfied with the price paid. And I believe I mentioned this last week. If you purchase something and you paid the full price for it, and they fail to deliver the full benefit, you pay for the dinner portion and they bring you the lunch portion. Oh, no, we'll not have this at the restaurant. You'll say, no, you got to bring me what I paid for, right? I've been thinking about this with my wife. If Jesus paid the full price, I want the full benefit. Amen. So surviving is not enough. Surviving and doing better than before is not enough. Surviving, doing better than before, and, what I'm getting at is I don't believe I have to accept any incapacity, any diminish of any kind whatsoever.
Amen.
Because Jesus paid the full price, I demand the full benefit.
Yes.
And I'm saying that so that you can do the same thing. Jesus paid the full price. What are you believing for? Are you believing for the full benefit? I hear Christians even sometimes say, well, I'm just believing I'll at least get to this point, or I at least get that far. Well, if that's what you believe, that's what you'll have. That's what you'll get. But the price has been paid for more. The price has been paid for the full restoration, for the full recovery, for the full benefit. I hear believers sometimes say, well, you have to die of something, meaning a sickness, disease, injury, something. No, you don't. You can just simply be satisfied with life and close your eyes one night and just enter into glory. That's the way to go, isn't it?
Amen.
Amen. You don't have to have accident, injury, illness, sickness, diminish, all of that kind of stuff. No, Jesus has paid the full price. And that same Spirit of God that was able to resurrect him out of that condition is the same Spirit of God that's in you and can resurrect you this morning out of any condition you could name. Every name that is given under heaven must bow the knee to the name of Jesus. Amen. So what does it mean for us today? Well, we've been talking about this. Jesus is raised by the Spirit from the dead, and he will also give this same life to our mortal bodies. Every need is granted and given by the Spirit. So, summing these things up and looking at how do we apply, what do we apply to ourselves, we better learn something about flowing with, cooperating with this Spirit that's in us. The Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in you, but whether or not you access his power, whether or not you access and receive the blessing and the resurrection, we play a role in that. I believe that Jesus perfectly trusted God, perfectly followed his word, and that's why he could receive the perfect resurrection, the full and complete resurrection. Jesus knew everything about flowing with the Spirit. Jesus knew everything about cooperating with the Spirit and operating in the power of the Spirit. And as we've already said, when the Spirit was lifted from him because he became sin, everything that he was going to do about it had to already be done. Now, in our case, we're born again. We have the Spirit with us. We are not today without the Spirit of God.
Amen.
The Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us, is with us. So we actually have advantage. But we need to know how to flow with that Spirit of God. Jesus had to trust God, and Jesus had to trust that God would bring him back from the dead. Because once he stepped over into death, all he had was God. He could not do things himself. So we must do exactly the same thing. We must trust God, we must trust his word, and we must trust that God will bring us back.
Amen.
So any kind of application for today, sometimes my mind goes there and thinks about, what if I could wind the clock back and do something differently, you know? Well, I can't. Once something has happened, it has happened. I realize people experience all the things I did too when my wife was, Pastor Shani was having that stroke, and I'm starting to realize it's brain injury, and this is serious. Denial came up on the inside, you know, no, can't be. This doesn't happen to a believer. All the things that people think, I'm sure, I thought too. Up from my spirit, whether it be the Holy Spirit of God, my spirit, I'm not sure, but suddenly it was, this is happening, and you better get with it fast.
Amen.
Amen. So you'd like to go back and undo some things, you can't. When something has happened, it has happened. And whether it was in some way or another, my fault, our fault. You and I, sometimes we do things and then it's our fault. We step over and something has happened. It's our fault. Nonetheless, it doesn't really matter. Get with doing what you need to do. So Jesus had to trust God and had to trust his word to bring him back from the dead. We must do exactly the same thing. So once I found myself as, okay, this event, this injury has happened to my wife, that's it. That's where I'm at. What do I do about it? I do what Jesus did. I repeat his word. I go back over his word. I trust him. I trust the Spirit of God in me to resurrect and to lift. By the power of that same Spirit, the same Spirit, we are lifted from the dead. We are given life in our mortal bodies. There is a power of resurrection life that Jesus experienced. There is a power of resurrection life that is given to us. The same Spirit that did it for Jesus is in us. There is a power of resurrection life that is intended to be operational, available and operational in the life of the born-again believer. God's intentions, God's will is that we believe him, believe his word, rise up in the power of the Spirit, speak his word, trust his word, and as we do, the Spirit of God can bring resurrection life. One day, when we all are in heaven, I'm not sure exactly how it'll work, but I do believe that we'll be able to go back in time and see things. We would maybe call them videos. I want to see the video, but I believe it's much more glorious than that. I believe that we'll have available to us to actually go back and be a firsthand witness. That's pretty interesting to me. But to go back and see that moment, I want to see that moment when Jesus, under the thumb of the devil, and the power and the glory of God invaded the grave, invaded that place where one moment all of the demons and all of the devil were mocking Jesus and having their way over him, and the next moment he bursts up in light, he bursts up in power, and he goes from being the dominated to the absolute dominator. Jesus, the scripture says, took the keys to death and hell. He's the possessor of those keys now. I want to see that. How about you? But we have that power, that glory breaking out into us, upon us. Well, how do we access that? The same way that Jesus did. Trust God. Trust his word. Keep speaking the word. Keep releasing faith. And the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us and will do the same for us. We can do this. How do I know we can do this? Because Jesus did it. And Jesus taught us. Whatever we see him do, we should do also, and greater. And so if Jesus was able to access resurrection power in his body that was human, that was in fact subject to death, he did die physically. So we can access that same power, do the same thing that Jesus did. We can do it because he did it. Amen? So with that, I say, by the Spirit of God, resurrection power belongs to you. Resurrection power is available to you. And not just one day we'll all be raised from the grave, but for your mortal body, here and now. When we speak of mortal body, especially physical healing, but it's everything that pertains to this life. So I encourage you today, the Spirit of God is in you. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you and is available today to bring you out in resurrection power. Father, we just thank you for Jesus today. We thank you for his example. We thank you for all the things that are written down so we can learn by them. We thank you for the anointing of the Spirit. We thank you that he is the teacher and he gives light even by this teaching today. And right now I loose resurrection power to everyone under the sound of my voice, to Renew Church watching online right now. Father, I thank you that your power knows no distance nor barrier of time. So I thank you that resurrection life this morning is released upon us. And Father, I thank you for light and illumination that right now, wherever you are, Access that power right now. Resurrection life is in me. Say it with me. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me, quickening my mortal body. I am quickened. I am lifted. Resurrection power is in me and flowing in me. And that power is raising me up. And throughout the rest of the day and before your head hits the pillow tonight, say these things again. Resurrection power is healing my disease. Resurrection power is healing my infirmity. Resurrection power is reversing my injury. I have the power of God working in my life, resurrecting my finances, resurrecting all things stolen from me are returned and restored to me. I live by the power of Christ now. Father, we just thank you and bless you for these things as we keep this word in our mouth. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, on this Resurrection Sunday, church, I bless you and encourage you to do what Jesus did. Trust God, trust His Word, and rise up going forward from this very moment in resurrection life and resurrection power. And God multiply you and increase you and heal your body as you do in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. So we might mention here again, trying to be a little bit like a regular church service, we continue to believe God to supply all our needs. Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." So that's true not only of you personally, of me and my home and my family, but it's true of Renew Church as well. We believe that God is our source and that He supplies all our needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, the offerings are not our supply. They are the channel in terms of our church. So we're believing God, and you're believing God. And as I mentioned, I believe last week, it's not just important for our church, but it's important for we as individuals to sow our seed, to keep the sowing and reaping cycle going. Take a moment, even now, if you're paying by check, write your check to Renew Church, and you can mail it in to us, of course. The address is Renew Church, 1085 Mulligan Drive, Bradley, Illinois, 60915. On the website, you can find a place where you can give online, and you can, the website, also the church app. I know even myself, I downloaded this week the church app, and there have been some, because I am here during the week most days, at least part of the day, I'm continuing construction work here in the building. There have been some that have come and dropped off an offering here. That'll work too. And of course, there's a mailbox at the front door, at the corner door of our building as well. So take a moment and see to it that we obey God, we follow God, and we do as we would normally do. Amen. Glory to God.